Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof Tes, and we are at the Mishnah in the beginning, in the middle of Daf Kuf Chof Ches Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avram Ben Gittel, Shoshana Bas Esther Bela, Chana Gittel Bas Brindel, Rufal Chaim Shai Yoshev, Ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Tzvi Ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo Ben Basya, Elena Bas Chana, Chaim Ben Yom Mordechai Ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shloime Ziskin Ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doi ben Kreindel, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Adasa, and Chavez Sero bas Chana Freida. Today's daf is also being learned by Ilui Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So the previous Mishnah that we learned stated a halacha in Hilchis Shabbos regarding animals. What happens if the chicken crosses the road? Are you allowed to bring it back in? Can you grab it by the wings? Can you push it? Can you help prod it along? Either way, the Gemara is going to go me inyan le inyan from one halacha related to an animal to another halacha related to an animal, but oisa inyan, all relating to Hilchis Shabbos. Okta Mishnah, imi yaldin es abehema b'yantiv. You're not allowed to deliver an animal on yantiv. So if you have an animal, she's pregnant, you're not allowed to deliver the animal. Avol misadin, however, you're allowed to help the animal deliver itself. Umiyaldin es isha b'shabbos. However, as it relates to a woman, a human being that's delivering a baby, so then of course we do whatever we need to do. Not just that, you can call a midwife and have the midwife travel from place to place. Umichalin aleos hashabbos, and you do any chil shabbos that might be necessary. V'koshenes hatibur, you're allowed to tie the umbilical cord. Rabbi Yosi says af choitchen, you're even allowed to sever it. V'chol tzorchei milo oisim b'shabbos, and you're allowed to do all Tzarchei Mila for a child that's born on Shabbos. Meaning, if there's going to be a Bris Mila that's going to take place on Shabbos, all the Tzarchei Mila are allowed to be taken care of Shabbos. Now, the Gemara is going to go and explain the entire Mishnah up until the last line. As it relates to the last line of the Mishnah, the Chol Tzarchei Mila Oisim the Shabbos, we're going to have a whole nother perek. The next perek, perek Rabbi Eliezer, the Mila, is going to discuss the halacha of Tzarchei Mila, which are Doicha Shabbos. But for now, the first halacha of the Mishnah was, you're not allowed to deliver an animal on Yontif. However, you're allowed to assist the animal to deliver on Yontif. Now, before we start the Gemara, what's the problem with delivering an animal on Yontif? What exactly are you doing wrong? Rashi says it's really not any one of the melachos, but rather it involves tircha. It's a hard day's work. And because it involves tircha, tircha on Yontif is aser, certainly tircha on Shabbos is aser. So it's for that reason, ein miyaldin es abehema, even though according to Rashi, it doesn't really involve a melacha. However, you are allowed to assist in the delivery. Says the Gemara, Ketza Misadin, Rabbi Yehuda says, oiches es avlad shelo yipot la'aretz, you're allowed to catch the animal, the baby that, so that it shouldn't fall to the ground. Nachman says, doichik bebasar, you're allowed to press the flesh of the mother, kideshi yetze avlad, to help her deliver the baby. Tanya was Rabbi Yehuda, right, to Rabbi Yehuda, Ketza Misadin, what does it mean? You're allowed to assist an animal. So the Braisa said, oichten es avlad, you're allowed to catch the animal so that it doesn't fall to the ground when it delivers. Additionally, v'noifech loy b'choitma, you're allowed to blow into its nose. That's something that was done. V'noisen loy dad l'toich piv k'desh yinek. Additionally, you're allowed to take the baby animal, bring it to the dad of the mother animal to assist it in nursing. Amar of Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel said, "Merachmin hayinu al behemet tohir b'yontif." I remember in our family, Rav Shimon Gamliel's family were the Nasiyim. So he said, "I remember that when babies were born on Yontif, we would go out of our way to make sure that the mother and the child would bond." So apparently, when it comes to animals, it's not guaranteed that naturally the mother and the child are going to bond, and there were certain tricks that were deployed to make sure that it would happen. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said that, "I remember my Sarav and our family, the family of the Nasiyim, we used to do some of those tricks even on Yontif." Hey, Chiyav, what would they do? Amar Abaya. Abaya said, "Maybe Bul Shal Melech." They would bring salt, put it into the womb of the mother. The reason was, it's going to hurt. She'll remember the pain that she had from carrying the baby, from delivering the baby. She's going to remember that she has a baby, that she has to have rachmanis on. Another thing they used to do was, they would take the water of the shilya, they would pour it on top of the vlad, so that the mother would smell herself in the baby. The terachim olav, she'll realize it's her child, she's going to have rachmanis. The Gemara says, v'dafka tahira. This halacha is only true for a behemah tahira. Aval temeya, for a non-kosher animal, you don't do any of these things. My time, two reasons. Number one, temeya le merach levlado. Ironically, a non-kosher animal will never be merachik its child. This concern is only a concern by a behemah tahira, by a kosher animal. By a non-kosher animal, you don't even have to worry about this. Additionally, v'i merach levlado, and even in the event of where this non-kosher animal will be merachik its vlad, blame mekarva. You're never getting her back anyways. So this whole idea of being merachik and being mekarva is something that's only necessary by behema tahira. So the Gemara says that these tricks are only done for behema tahira, and certainly on yontif you'd only be allowed to do this for behema tahira. Miyaldin eso yisho. So the Mishnah said that when it comes to delivering an animal, so it's tricky. Ain miyaldin as a behema b'yontif. However, you're allowed to assist. Why ain miyaldin? Rashi says tircha b'shabbos or tircha b'yontif. What does it mean that you're allowed to assist? So we had two pshatim, what exactly that might be. But this is all with regards to a behemoth. As it relates to an isha, there the Mishnah says it's very straightforward. Miyaldin eso isha, not only on yontif, but even on Shabbos, which is more chomer than yontif. Additionally, the Mishnah said, you're allowed to call a midwife to come deliver the baby from place to place. And finally, the Mishnah gave a more general klal, that you're allowed to be mechalal Shabbos for this baby. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah already said you're allowed to be mechalal Shabbos. It says you're allowed to deliver the baby. It says you're allowed to call the midwife to come from place to place. It sounds like you could be mechalal Shabbos, because if a woman's in labor, her life's at risk, which once upon a time was very, very true. So if that's the case, then what's the Mishnah adding by saying umechalalin oleo es haShabbos? The Gemara says lasuya hadatan rabban. It's coming to teach us something beremiza that's mefurish in a brisa. If this woman that's giving birth needed a ner, she felt that it was too dark for her and she wanted light. The halacha is chavirta madlekes lo es haner. Her friend is allowed to light a ner, meaning even though the ner is not directly impacting her health, it's not something that's going to cause refuah, it's not something that's going to deliver the baby. But if it bothers her, the halacha is you're allowed to do it. Another halacha of maisa tzricha l'shemen. Let's say she wanted shemen, she wanted oil to smear on herself. Chavirta mevia lo shemen. Her friend is allowed to bring oil for her, even though it involves carrying. Rashi says, even in a Rishus HaRabim, not only in a Carmelis, even in a Rishus HaRabim, this is going to be halach. However, the Braisa says that in the event that the friend has to bring Shemen, so there should be a cheshbon. How so? Ideally, bring it biyad, which means take the oil, pour it into your hand, and carry it that way. The main seek bait biyad, let's say there's this too much oil, it's not going to fit in her palm. Mevia besaira, then she should pour it into her here. Then it's sipik besaira, and if that's not going to mevia lo b'kli, then you can bring it in a kli. The point is, the chatchila, don't carry it in a kli. And the reason is, because if you're going to carry it in a kli, you're going to violate the malach of haitzah in the proper way. Which, even though we're saying now is okay, because you're doing it for a woman that's giving birth, who clearly is being treated as a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, but lechatchila, lechatchila, why be mechal Shabbos in the ordinary way? So what's more lechatchila then? Try to do it with a shinoi. Try to do a kalachayat. So let her hold the oil in her hand. That's not usually the way people carry oil. Let her pour it into her hair. That's extremely unusual. The price says that if she needs a ner, her friends will let her be madlik aner. Isn't that obvious? Meaning, if she needs it, then she needs it. The Gemara says, no, it's richa basuma. Talking about where this woman giving birth was a suma. She couldn't even see. Now, ma'od the tema, I would have thought, kibbutz l'chazi aser. So over here, the ner is not helping her. So if it's not helping her, then why does she need a ner? Kamash malon. And this is a very important line in halacha. Isuve miyasva daita. We do anything that we need to do to calm this woman down. Meaning, savra, i'ikamidi, chazi chavirta avdali. She obviously feels it, even though she can't see. But the woman that's taking care of her needs it. I mean that the woman that's taking care of her needs it. That's in and of itself enough of a reason for us to go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos. So if the woman feels that she needs it, even if it's so indirect, she can't even see. So what's she doing with the Ner? There's a principle called Isuve Miyas Vadaita. It's something that allows us to be Mechal Shabbos. It allows us to violate Isurei Torah. That's how important a rule that is. Tosfos incidentally asks Akasha, if that's the case, then why is it if there's a Chayla Sheyesh Bei Sakana, and it's Yom Kippur, for example, and the Chayla says that he needs food, What's the halacha? You have to call a roife, a mumcha, you call a rav, and you ask him, what's the halacha? Could you break the fast? Could you not break the fast? Frey Toises, what happened to Yesuve Daita? What happened to this principle that says, if the chayla feels like he or she needs the food, you should go ahead and give the person the food? You're going to start asking shaylas? Why is it any worse than the nair? You have a woman that's giving birth. She's a sagi nahar. She can't even see. But she knows that if the room is lit, the people taking care of her will be able to take better care of her. So you light a candle on Shabbos, which is chil Shabbos de'oraisa. It's a melacha shetzricha legufa b'mischaven. So what's... That's something you're allowed to do. So if the Chodesh Yesh B'chama says, I need food, why don't we give the person the food? So Tosfos says you have to say that the Metzius is different. That if somebody's hungry and you tell the person you can't necessarily eat, it's not necessarily going to cause the person to find himself in a terrible matzav of sakana. But if a woman's giving birth and she feels that people taking care of her may not be able to see properly, and as a result, she needs light, even if she can't benefit from the light personally, there is enough of a svar. The point is, you see that this idea of Yisuvim Yas V'daite is ton shikladas. It's ton a rav. It's ton a mumcha. But either way, you can't just recklessly use this principle. Tais already points out that you find in Sugi Zashas, but the Chachamim didn't work that. So it's a progressive idea, but at the same time, it's something you have to handle with caution. So the Brisa said that what if this woman needed oil? So you can carry the oil for her. However, l'katchila, you should do it with a shinoi. So what was the order? First, pour it in your hand. If that doesn't work, pour it into your hair. And if that doesn't work, you can carry it. Now, what's the idea of pouring it in your hair, pouring it in your hand? You don't have to violate the malacha vaitza. The problem is, how are you going to get the oil out of the hair? You're going to squeeze it out? Freak the gemara, typically mishum schita. So it's six of one, half a dozen of another. You're saving yourself by not carrying in the regular way of vaitza, but you're offsetting it by putting in your hair and having to do a malacha de raisa to remove the oil. Schita, Rabbi Yosef, so the Gemara says, the Amri Chavayu, another big rule, ein schita b'seir. There's no schita when it comes to seir. And the reason is because oil and hair don't mesh so well. So it's not a real schita, and as a result, this is not going to be an issue. Rav Ashi, Yomai, Filtem, Yeish schita b'seir, could be Yeish schita b'seir, Mevilo, but Kli, Derech Seir. You don't understand what the Brisa meant, Rav Ashi said. I don't think the Brisa meant take the oil, pour it into your hair, and carry it that way. It meant put the keli with the oil and carry it on your head. That's certainly a shinoi, and the reason we do this is the kama de'efshel l'shliyim ashninam, because even though we're dealing with a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, that's clearly the way this woman is being treated, but at the same time, if you could do it with a shinoi, it's still better to do it with a shinoi. Amar Abidah Mashmul, chaya, a woman that is having a baby, already gave birth to a baby, calls mancha kever pasuach, as long as the kever is a word that's used as a euphemism for her rechem, her womb, the area from which the baby is delivered, bein amr tzrichani, whether she says, I need something, or even if she doesn't say she needs something, but we think she needs something. As long as the Pesach or the Kever is Pasuach, she has a din of a Chodesh Sheyesh by Sakana. Whatever she needs, we give her. And even if she doesn't think she needs it, if we think she needs it, we're not going to take her word for it. We're going to force her to take it. And we'll even be Mechal Shabbos. Nistam HaKever, once the Kever gets closed, Bein Amr Tzrichani, Bein Loy Amr Tzrichani, whether she says she needs it, or even if she doesn't say she needs it, in Mechal Neres HaShabbos. Then even if she says she needs something, no, once it's Nistam HaKever, she loses her status of a Chol Gosheyesh Beisakar. Rav Ashi Masni Hachi. This is the way Rav Ashi had it. Mazvutra had a different version of it. Masni Hachi. Amr Rav Yudah Mashmul, Chayikos Mashakever Pasuach. As long as the Kever is Pasuach, Bein Amr Tzrichani, Bein Amr Tzrichani, Mechal Neres HaShabbos. What was Mechala Shabbos? So far, that's the same as the way Rav Ashi had it. Where Mazutra had a different nusach was Nistam HaKever. He said that if the Kever was closed, then Amr Tzrichani, if she says she needs it, Mechalan Olaos HaShabbos. Loi Amr Tzrichani, Ein Mechalan Olaos HaShabbos. In other words, a machlokes Rav Ashi and Marzutra as to what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel with regards to Achaya, this is a woman that just had a baby, where it was already Nistam HaKever, are we Mechal Shabbos for this woman? If she says she needs something, then the answer is yes. But what if she doesn't say she needs something? But we think she needs it, but she says she doesn't need it. So who are we going to trust? He said, she said, right? So who are we going to listen to? So it was a machlekes. According to Rav Ashi, we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos. According to Marzutra, we will be Mechal Shabbos, says the Gemara. Amalei Ravina Lemar, Marzutra Masli Lekula. Rav Ashi Masli Lechumra. Hilchas HaKaman, who do we pass in like Amalei? So he told him, Alocha Gemarzutra. The Alocha is like Marzutra. Forget about the Kloli Apshas. Forget about the Kloli Apsak. Here the Alocha is like Marzutra. Why? Sofik Nefashis Lachas. So every three, four lines in this Gemara, we have a tremendous klal. Isuvim miyas v'daita, sofik nefashis lahakil, kamed de'efshe l'shnuye, mishaninim. These are major yesoides. We're just doing what we do. So we see in halacha, there are two important tkufos, milestones, in a woman that's giving birth. There's the psichas hakever, when the womb is open, and then there's the stimas hakever, when it was closed. Says the Gemara. Practically speaking, as soon as she's lying on the bed that she's going to be lying on when she has a baby, as soon as blood starts rolling down her legs, some say where the labor pain is so intense that she can't walk on her own strength, she needs people to help her. Okay, so now we know when psichas hakever starts. Up until what point does it last? 3 days. From when it starts until it ends, it's 3 days. Rav Yehuda, Shiva, 7 days. For Amrila, some had a third version, Shloishim. So we have three opinions of when Psich Sakever is, meaning when it starts, and three opinions of when it ends. Amin Nardoi, they used to say, Chaya, Gimel, Zayin, Velamed. Three important days. The 3 days, the 7 days, and the 30 days. What does this mean in halacha? Gimel, the first 3 days, Bein Omer Tzrichani, Bein Omer Loi Tzrichani, Mechalun Oleos HaShabbos. Zayin, once she hits already day 7, Omer Tzrichani, Mechalun Oleos HaShabbos, Omer Loi Tzrichani, Ein Mechalun Oleos HaShabbos. Lamed, from 7 until 30, Afilo Omer Tzrichani, Ein Mechalun Oleos HaShabbos, Abel Oysen Alidei Armoi. But at the same time, there is some significance to that period of time, because if she feels she needs something, with Amir La'akum at the very least, we'll do something for it. Even though Amir La'akum is a shvus, and even though she's a chayla, but you can't do a shvus of a issa d'iraisa even for a chayla. However, from day 7 or day 8 until day 30, she's still in this quasi-sakana state, and as a result, even though ordinarily we wouldn't necessarily go to a guy and allow the guy to do a chil Shabbos d'iraisa, if it's a chil Shabbos d'rabbanon, then of course it's okay, because then it's a shvus d'shvus for a chayla, then it's fine. You don't need nardoi to tell us 3, 7, and 30. Without this rule, this special, unique status of this woman, it would be okay. The point is that even if you're doing a chil Shabbos d'iraisa, even then it's going to be okay. If it's a davish imbay sakana, imel anachri va'ois. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul Chaya la midyoyim l'may hilchisa. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, there's an idea of 30 days for a chaya with regards to what halach. I mean, I do the tefila. It means a tefila. A woman shouldn't be toivel for 30. She shouldn't go to the mikvah even for a tefilas reshus. She shouldn't go into water for the first 30 days after she has a baby. Amar Rava. Rava said lo yamar and elashem bailim. This is only true if her husband's not with her. Avol bailim. So the reason a woman shouldn't go into a mikvah, she shouldn't bathe for the first 30 days after she has a baby, is because once upon a time the mikvahs were cold. And the concern is that she's going to emerge very cold. It's not good for her, she can get sick. If, however, and as a result, she has the refuah, she doesn't have to worry about it. And the Gemara says, Rava said this, and there was a maisa shahoya kachoya with Rava himself. He had the party, the Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda's daughter. So Rava famously was married to Rav Chizda's daughter. Tavla begaft halsin yoimin, shaloi befnei baila. So she wasn't in the presence of her husband. She went into a body of water, and she was toivel, and was within 30 days from when she had a baby. Ve'itztaniya, so she got very cold, and she became sick. They literally carried her bed to Rava, who at the time was in Pumpadisa, Fatashmish, and like this, she had a Rafu. Amr Rav Yehuda Mashmul, Oysa Madura L'chaya B'Shabbos, you're allowed to light a Madura for a Chaya, this woman that's having a baby on Shabbos, be Moisak Shamim during the winter. Now, Savamina, so who said this? Rav Yehuda said this in the name of Shul. So people assumed that when Shmuel said this halach, he was very precise. He's not talking about any Chayla, he was talking about a Chaya. He wasn't talking about any day of the year. He was talking about the Yemaisai Gishamim. So people assume that's what the halacha was. L'chaya in l'choy v'loy. V'yemaisai Gishamim, v'yemaisai Chama loy. The Gemara says v'loy. Loy sh'l'chaya v'loy sh'l'choy. Loy sh'l'chaya v'loy sh'l'chaya v'loy Midit, Mar Rav Chiba, Rav Rav Shmuel. Because Shmuel himself said, hik is dam. If a person bloodlets, a person gives blood, then it's standing and then he gets cold. Oysan loy medura, and afilu b'tkufas tamuz. So you see clearly from this thing that both of the hanachos we were tempted to make are not true. Number one, here Shmuel said it regarding someone that was makizdam, not necessarily a chayah. Number two, he's talking about tkufas tamuz. That's the month we're in right now. He's talking about the summer. He's talking about July, August. He's not talking about your Yemoisak Shamas. So you see clearly that this halacha of Shmuel is true even in that case. So we're digressing from our digression. How so? Just to follow the paper trail. We had a mishnah in the end of yesterday's daf that said a halacha that's negei hilcha Shabbos regarding animals. So we mentioned another halacha that's negei hilcha Shabbos regarding animals, delivering a baby. A baby animal. Oh, we talked about delivering baby animals. We digress to talk about delivering baby humans. We discussed the halachos of a yoledes. We discussed the halacha of a chaya. This is a woman that's having a baby. In halacha, she has a din of a chayla she yesh by sakana. So we're digressing to now talk about other chaylim as it relates to Shabbos and in general halachas of other chayla. Now, one thing that's going to be clear from the Gemara that we're about to learn. And that is that once upon a time, a very common form of refuah was to be makiz dam. It was understood that it was healthy for a person to give blood. So you would go to, incidentally, most hakazas dam happened by the barber shop. But you would go to a barber or to a doctor or to an anesthesiologist or some professional of some sort. He would remove blood from you. And it was considered a davar shel refuah. We're going to see on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to say that even healthy people used to do it. There was a certain amount of time that it was understood, if you could afford it, as we're going to see, it was considered a healthy thing for a person to bloodlet. Either way, on the topic of bloodletting, on the topic of achaya, says the Gemara, Shmuel, Tzolchule, B'tachtecha d'shaga. Shmuel was very careful that after he was makiz dam, after he would bloodlet, he wanted to warm himself up. Meaning, it's very important for a person to be warm after he bloodlet. That was the last Gemara we said. Shmuel said, Hikiz dam, v'nitztanein, oysen loy medura, afilu b'tkufas tamas. Then on Shabbos. So you see, if you let him make a fire, obviously it's important to have fire. So Shmuel wants bloodlet, and he didn't have wood for a fire. So he took something very expensive, not exactly sure what this is, but he took a tachtecha d'shaga, he threw it into a fire to heat himself up. Rabbi Yehuda tzolchele psoyru diyat. He took a psoyru as a table from Yavne, and also very expensive. The rabbi tzolchele sharshifa. Rabbi took a sharshifa. Vamalei abai the rabbi. Abai told the rabbi, I understand why you're doing this. You're taking your expensive wooden table and a wooden stool and you're throwing it into the fire. Vakavim amishum bal tashchis. Amalei, he told him back, bal tashchis gedufoy odifli. It's true, it's bal tashchis. But I had to make a decision. Bal tashchis of my table or bal tashchis of my guf? And he said, bal tashchis gedufoy odifli. And I think this is a better idea. This is something that I want. Amar rabbi, my rabbi, lo'ilam yimker adam kuris base vikech. A person should sell his house and buy shoes. L'ragav. Meaning it's very important that you own a pair of shoes. Let's say someone was makiz dam and he doesn't have any food. So it's important to be hot after your makiz dam. It was always important to eat, to be full after your makiz dam. So what if somebody was makiz dam and hot nishkai bright? He doesn't have food. Yimkar menalim shabiraglav. You should sell your shoes. It's like this, you're going to have a tzor chesuda. So again, just the buildup of the Gemara. A person should sell his house to have shoes. Shoes are clearly very important. However, despite the fact that shoes are so important, a person should sell his shoes to make sure that he's going to have food, to make sure that he's going to have food after his makiz dam. By the way, how important is it for a person to have shoes? So the bir halacha is the last bir halacha in Chelek of the Mishnah Brura. So the Shulchan Aruch over there says that it's important for a person to be sameach his family on Yom Tov. Chayiv adam liya sameach v'toiv lei b'moyed. Who the ishta you one of the chol anil v'meilav? You have to be mesamech your family. Ketsa mesamchon. How do you make your family happy? Haktanim noisam kloyus ve'agoyzim. You give them nuts. I don't know if that works today, but you give them kloyus ve'agoyzim. The hanoshim, as relates to women, koinelehem begodin. You buy them clothing, the tachshitim, jewelry, kafima mainai, as much as you could afford. Says the bir halacha, quoting the El Yerabah, who's quoting the Maril. V'mein yodei masegas. Let's say you can't afford to buy jewelry and clothing. Yikne lehem l'chala paches. At the very least, you should buy minalayim chadashim l'kavad yartiv. At the very least, a pair of shoes. A new pair of shoes. What's the pshat? Incidentally, pashup pshat is because once upon a time, shoes used to get very, very dirty, right? You didn't have all these. Yeah, you had a pair of shoes. You walked through the mud and be maisag shamim, and they used to get very, very dirty. So there was an idea to have a clean pair of shoes. But here we're actually saying a different idea, and that is for a person not to have shoes at all is also considered very embarrassing. So that's why however, despite the fact that it's so important to own a pair of shoes, sell your shoes to make sure you have food after your makkah is done. Says the Gemara. Okay, what kind of food? So you're supposed to eat after your makkah is done. Maitzar chesudo. Rav amar basa. Rav said meat. Shmuel amar yayin. Shmuel said wine. Yeah, Rav and Shmuel always saw the world differently, right? It's amazing. This is not what a zalacha. Is it meat or is it what? Rav saw one way, Shmuel saw it another way. And there was a reason behind it. Rav amar basa. Nafsha chalaf nafsha. Basa is the nefesh of a person. You're trying to save your nefesh. You're trying to give chizuk, meshivas nefesh. That's what you're trying to accomplish. So how do you do meshivas nefesh? The opposite of pache nefesh. The way you do it is meat. Nefesh tachas nefesh. Shmuel amar Shmuel said, yayin sumka, wine is red. Chelav sumka, you just bloodlet. You gave blood, which was red. So instead, you should drink red wine. Sounds like the nafkamina would be. It should be red wine versus white wine. Simin shen nimsa. Shmuel zok the Gemara. Be'yomid avin milso. A day that Shmuel used to bloodlet. Avdi le tafshil le tachli. He used to eat meat. What kind of meat? The spleen of an animal. Rabbi Yochanan would drink wine. He followed Shmuel, and he would drink so much wine. Shasi adenafik tia meunya. You were able to smell the wine from his ears. Rabbi Nachman used to drink so much wine. Adakafi tichle. His own spleen was floating inside all the wine that he drank. Rabbi Yosef Shasi adenafik mirivda de kasulta. Rabbi Yosef would drink so much wine that the wine would literally come out of the hole that was punctured for him to bloodlet. Rava also drank wine throughout Shas, Rava and wine. Rava mahada achamra, but he didn't want to drink any wine. He wanted wine that was bar plus a tarfi. So tarfi usually means leaves. I and Rashi exactly what it means in this Gemara, but one thing Rashi for source says is Ben Gimel Shanim. It was aged 3 years. Says, I have an idea for you. On a day that you bloodlet, it's very important that your wife prepare a nice meal for you. Problem is, she might not want to do it. So here's the trick. Tell your wife, Nachman ikla legabon. Oh, the Rashiv is coming. The Rebbe is coming to us. So what's going to happen is she's going to prepare a nice meal. I'm not going to show up. You have nothing to worry about. Like this, you're going to get the food you want. He continued and he said, "V'kulu arumi asiri bar mahai armo." Ordinarily, a person is supposed to be glatt. And usually, to do something beharamo, wink, wink, even though Chazal worked with it sometimes, but it's something that don't try at home. It's not something that you're allowed to do. So Nachman Yitzchak told the Talmidim, he said that even though harama is something that's usually frowned upon, but this is an example of harama that's mutter. Also, manda avan milso, somebody gave blood and he doesn't have any money for him to be able to buy food. So what he should do is like this. Lishko zuza macha. He should take a zuz, a worn out zuz, a zuz that no seller is going to take. It's not oivel asoicher. Veleza l'shev chenvasa. You should go to 7 different stores. And what you should do is like this. You should walk into a store. He says, "You sell wine?" "Yeah." "Oh, can I taste a little bit?" He says, "Sure, have a little taste." After you taste it, "Oh, this wine is delicious. I'm going to buy a bottle." Take out your zuz. The person's going to look at the zuz and throw you out of the store. And then you're going to rinse and repeat. You do the same thing in the next store. At the time, she reveals until you drink a revius. Like this, it's going to be okay. Now, really, this is not something that's very nice to do. But at the same time, said Rav Nachman Yitzchak, it's so important for you to eat and to drink wine after you bloodlet, that even though usually a harama is something that's aser, but over here, bar mihai orma deshari. This is an example of a harama that's with vila. Let's say you don't even have a coin. So lechel shev tamri uchmas, at the very least, you should take 7 black dates. Falecha mishcha betzida, you should smear oil on your temples. Venigni b'shimsha, and you should go to sleep in the sun. Avlet, the Gemara says, ashche l'shmu d'gana b'shimsha. Avlet was a chacham, he was a friend of Shmuel. He comes up together with Shmuel in different places in Shas. So Avli once saw Shmuel, the God of Hashem, he was lying out in the sun. Amalei told him, "Chakimu do you die? But these are the smart Jews. Bisha mi havi tava. I understand. Everyone knows the sun is bad for you. Why are you lying outside in the sun?" Amalei said, "He told him, Yemid akazahu." He says, "I bloodlet." "Oh, you bloodlet? Then at Shem Fashtanin, then it's already okay." But the Gemara says, "Well, it's really not what happened." Then Avli Tkufas Tamas. Shmuel knew that there's one day, the first day of Tkufas Tamas, the sun is very healthy. But for whatever reason, he didn't want to be megalodist to. He didn't want to be megalodist to Avlet, and he didn't want to be megalodist. That's what he told him, it was a kazas dam. But you see from here that on a day that a person's mak is dam, it's important that he eats. Rav said basar, Shmuel said yayin, and then it's also important to be out in the sun. And if a person doesn't have food to buy, do things that usually we would never allow you to do. You're allowed to think the unthinkable. You could do harama, tell your wife from Nachman by Yitzchak's coming, and he doesn't show up. But the point is very, very important that you eat. One interesting na'ara, before we go weiter, so the Gemara said in parentheses, simin shenimsar. So what was the simin shenimsar? Shmuel was the shin, b'yoyim da'oven milso avle tafshilo. The Gemara went on and told different customs that different amayuroim had on days that they bloodlet. Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef, and Rava. So the Shin is Shmuel, the Nun is for Rav Yochanan, the Mem is for Rav Nachman, the Samach is for Rav Yosef, and the Reish is for Rava. But the point is, this is a simin, it's a simin of the five Amayurayim that were just mentioned in the Gemara. Now, wherever the Gemara says a simin, you don't have that many simanim in Shas. I mean, you have a lot, but not every Gemara has a simin. So there's a reason why Chazal wanted us to have simanim. And the reason is because through a simin, you can asay la simanim, the Gemara says. It's a good way to remember things. So it's obviously the Gemara wanted us to remember this. This was something that Chazal wanted us to remember. So much so, simin shenimsar. You'll remember Shmuel, you remember Rabbi Yochanan, you remember Rabbi Nachman, you remember Rabbi Yosef, you remember Rabbi. What are we remembering? What are we remembering? We're remembering what these Amayuron did after they bloodlets. I saw in the Sefer Megillah Simanim, from the Aderet, we've quoted the Sefer before. He wrote a Sefer to explain all the Simanim. So he says like this, Ubevadai toiva dover simin kozer. Chazal wanted us to remember this. You know why? Lohidienu ad kama choshishu Rabbi Yisenu zecharim levrach al abrios. To show how important it was to Rabbi Yisenu, to the tzaddikim health. And it's for that reason, Chum wanted us to remember that you know who was careful after they bloodlet to make sure they ate properly and did the right thing? Shen Nimsar. It was Shmuel, it was Rabbi Yochanan, it was Rabbi Nachman, it was Rabbi Yosef, and it was Rava. You know what the simon is? The names of the Amayurim. That there were five Amayurim, five of the greatest tzaddikim of all time, and they were so sensitive to a person's health. This is the point. V'loshen chachamim marpei oysheru bracha. V'tzorich limkoid, he says, agaburchi, parenthetically, it's Shen Nimsar, in case you weren't sure how to pronounce the word. It's not shnamser, it's shenimser. But either way, what's the simon? What are we remembering? You're just remembering the names of the Amayram. You don't have to remember the food that they ate. That's not the point. Just remember the names that these five Amayram were sensitive when it came to Inyonei Abrius. Another simon. Hekel, Beruach, Taima, Shah, Simon. Zok the Gemara, Rav Vishmul, Damit Shavai, Rav Vishmul both said, if someone's Mekel, when it comes to the Sud of Akazazazam, meaning he doesn't take it so seriously, they're not going to take it so seriously when this person wants Parnasa. For Omrim, they're going to say, Hu al Chayev Loichas, he doesn't care about his own life. Ani Achasalav? Kodesh Baruch says, should I have Rachmanis on you? If you don't care about yourself, why should I have Rachmanis on you? Rabbi Shmuel, Nami Chavayu. Hi, man, the oven milso. If somebody bloodlets, loy leisif, heicha de karach ziko. He shouldn't be in a place where it's very windy. Dilma shafi le umna, because there's a concern that maybe the bloodletter took out too much blood. Umaykum le arviyasa. All he has is a revias dam. Revias dam was the number that was considered the minimum amount of blood that a person has. The ozi ziko, then a wind's going to come. The shaf minute, it's going to take away the revias that he has, or a little part of it. Fasli de sakon, then he's going to be a big sakon. So make sure you're not in an exposed ear. Make sure you're not in a place where the wind is blowing. Shmuel have a rug of oven milsa bebesa. Shmuel, when he used to bloodlet, so he used to go to a house to shove the venasa. You know how thick the wall was? It was 7 full bricks for aricha and a half a brick. Rashi says the width of a brick is 3 tvachim. So it's 7 times 3 plus another 1.5. Very, very what? Yoy mechada, the Gemara says, avad. One time Shmuel bloodlet, v'arigish benafshe. He didn't feel right. And he thought that maybe there was a, say he was getting cold. There's something happening. Badak, he went and he inspected the thickness of the wall of the room that he was in, v'chosachad aricha. He was missing one half a brick. Rabbi Shmuel, Shavai, Haiman, Ovin, Lilso. If somebody bloodlets, lite midi, he should taste something, v'hada lepuk. And then he should go outside. I mean, don't just run. Put something in your mouth. Eloi tom midi. Because if you're going to bloodlet, and you're not going to eat anything, ipaga b'shchava. If you see a dead person, your face is going to start changing colors. Ipaga b'man de katal nafsho. If you see someone that killed somebody, if you meet a roitzeach, miss, you can die. Ipaga b'dover achar. And if you see a dover achar, what is that? Rashi says, a chazer, kashal a dover achar. It's not good for a different thing that's also referred to as a dover achar. Tzaras. So if you see a pig, you can come to tzaras. Ayin Rashi. Rabbi Shmuel, Shavai, Haiman, Dovin Milso. If somebody bloodlets, lishi porti, you should wait a little bit, v'hadalikim, then you should get up. Don't just jump up. There are 5 things that if a person does this, he's more of Yenemvelt than of Demvelt. And these are the 5 things. Somebody eats and he jumps up. Shasa, you drink, you get up right away. Yashan, you sleep, you jump out of bed. Hik is not, even though it says skabra kari, hik is not if somebody bloodlets and he gets up right away. Shimish mitase, tashmish amita, and he gets up right away. A person should bloodlet every 30 days. Once you start getting a little older, you come to the stage of Bein HaProkim. Rashi says, what's this stage of Bein HaProkim? You're on the other side of 40. You might. So then you should slow down. You shouldn't give as much blood. Ubein HaProkim. What if you cross 60? Yachsevi, you might. You should do it even less. Amash Mul. Pursa de Dama. If somebody had be Shabbat. A bloodletting could be on a Sunday. Arba. on Wednesday, umayli Shabbata, and on Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Avosheini b'chamishi. But on Tuesday and on Thursday, you're not supposed to bloodlet. Why? The Amar Mar Mishi Ishul Chus Avos. If someone has Chus Avos, Akiz Namashen B'chamishi. He could bloodlet on Monday and Thursday. And the reason is Shebezdin Shalmaila VeShalmata Shavim Ke'echa. Because Bezdin Shalmaila operates in the same way Bezdin Shalmata does. And when did Bezdin Shalmata convene? Besul Nisus Liyom Ravi. Why? Because there was a Bezdin on a Tuesday and there was a Bezdin on a Thursday. Aye, then it should be Besul Nisus on Sunday. Shaktu Chacham. But the point is, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mondays and Thursdays were the 2 days that Bezdin used to convene. So the point is that on a Monday and Thursday, Bezdin Shalmata convened, the Bezdin Shalmaila also convened on those days. So you don't want to put yourself in a state of sakana. You don't want to go ahead and bloodlet and do something on a Monday and a Thursday, unless you have schus avos. So for that reason, it should be on Sunday, it should be on Wednesday, and it should be on Friday. What about Betlasa B'Shabbat? What about Tuesday, right? That's what's obvious. Shabbos, you can't do it. It's not Toich Shabbos. But, right, so we're saying Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, yeah. Monday and Thursday, no. Skip Tuesday. So the Gemara says, "Mishum the Kaimele Madin Bezavi." This is related to Hibijibi. It's because the constellation of Madin, also known as Mars, is Bezavi, and being that it's Bezavi, it's considered dangerous. Faith the Gemara, "Ma'ilu Shabbat and Nami Kami Bezavi." The same phenomenon happens on Friday. Mars says, "True." But Kimi the Doshebe Rabin, being that so many people used to bloodlet on Friday, so Shomer Psoim Hashem, there's a special Shmira. You don't have to worry about it. So two interesting things. Just push it right here on the Amid as it relates to this Gemara. Number one, what does this mean, Kaimele Madin Bezavi? So there's a long Rashi over here, above my pay grade. But let's just read the first few lines of Rashi. Shemazel Madim, the Mazel of Madim, Meshamish by Beshoi Zugais. It operates, it does its thing, whatever that is, on Shoi Zugais, on even numbers, even hours of the day. Umazel Madim, the Mazel of Madim, is Memuna ala Cherev, Vala Dever, Vala Puronios. The Hazugois caution him as because caution chain reshus l'shedin can remember pesachim daf kuf yudam in base vapuranes muchanim, and it's for that reason it's considered a dangerous time. So basically, you have two dangerous things that are converging. Number one, mazel madam is dangerous. Number two, zugois, anything that happens in even numbers is considered dangerous. So to go ahead and to give dam at a time where mazel madam is bezugois, right? Even though Tuesday is an odd number as far as the day, the third day of the week, but the point is that's the mazel in the even hour of the day. This is the point. It's considered dangerous. It's for that reason, it's something you're not supposed to do. So the Gemara says, okay, this happens 2 days a week. It happens on Tuesday, it happens on Fridays. So why in Erev Shabbos is it okay? So the Gemara said, the reason is because Kimon the Dasha Bei Rabim, Shoyim Ripsoyim Hashem. What was the Dasha Bei Rabim? So Zok Rashi. The meaning was people used to give blood Erev Shabbos, Shiu Kroivim L'Suda Shabbos. Because we saw how important it is for a person to eat a Suda. How important, you can even do Harama. Tell your wife from Nachum Yitzchak's coming for dinner. Right? It's so important to eat a Suda. If someone doesn't eat the Suda, Kadosh Baruch says, you don't care about yourself, I don't care about you either. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Ani lo yachus. So says the Gemara, being that it was so important to eat a Suda, people couldn't afford to just eat Sudas in the middle of the week. So they would dafka bloodlet on Friday, because they knew Friday night, Shabbos day, they were going to eat Sudas anyways. They were going to have wine, they were going to make Kiddush, they were going to have Basa, they were going to have Dogim. Like the Gemara said, Kuf Yud Ches, Amid Beis, Kavod Shabbos, Kasat the Harsuna, they used to eat all these good foods. So because they used to eat all these good foods, so this was a day that it was considered an okay thing to do. Amar Shmuel said, Dalid, a Wednesday, the fourth day of the week, the Hu Dalid, which is also the fourth day of the month, or Dalid Duar Besa, the fourth day of the week, Wednesday Duar Besa, which is the 14th day of the month, Dalid, the fourth day of the week, again, Wednesday, Du Esrim Varba, which is the 24th day of the month, Dalid, a Wednesday, the Lek Arba Basrei, that's at the end of the month. It's Soif Chodesh. You don't have 4 days left till the end of the month. Sakanta, all these days are considered sakanas. Meaning, don't go ahead and bloodlet on these days. Rech Chodesh, Vesheni Loi, Rech Chodesh, and the second day of the month. Chulsha, also a person's weak. Not a good day to bloodlet. Shlishi Loi, the third day of the month, sakana. Malu Yoyim Etava, Erev Yontif, Chulsha, you're going to get weak. Malu Yoyim Etzar, the Erev Shvuah, Sakanta, it's a real sakana. Because Rabbanan, Kuli Malu Yoyim Etava. The Rabbanan say you should never bloodlet on Erev Yontif. Why? Mishum Yoyim Etava, that's Eris. Because of Erev Shvuah, the Navi Bezika, and the reason on Erev Shvuah it's so dangerous to bloodlet is because there's a Zika, there's a shade on Erev Shvuah, Ushmei Tavayach. His name is Tavayach. And what was he all about? Like Kibli Yisrael Torah, because had the Yidden not been Mekabel Torah in Erev Shvuah, have a Tavach Lulu Bisrael Damayo, he would have slaughtered the Yidden. And this this shade apparently still out there. And because he's still out there, so it's for that reason, on Erev Shavuos, this shade is veer. So don't, just like you don't do it on Tuesdays, because mazel madam and zugais, so too, this is something that a person shouldn't do. Now, the truth is that really, on a regular Erev Yontif, it would have been okay. But the Gemara says, v'gazru rabbat and akuli mali yoy metav, on every, meaning Erev Yontif sounds like it would have been the perfect time for a person to bloodlet, because you have to eat a suda afterwards. So on Shabbos, you eat a suda. On Yontif, you eat even a bigger suda. Stating that, Chum said, it's not something you're supposed to, Omar Shmuel, achal chita, if somebody eats a wheat, v'hikazam, and then he bloodlets, lahikazal lo isachita, it's not going to be good. You're supposed to on an empty stomach. All it's going to do is it's going to help you digest that chita. But other than that chita, it's not going to accomplish anything. But honey, milu, if we have to read the fine print, this is only true for Ravu, avalu kule meko. But at the same time, it's going to lighten you a little bit. If that was the kivun of bloodletting, then you will accomplish it. Makizdam. If somebody is makizdam, shtil alter. So if you're going to drink right away. Achila ad chatzim mil. Up until the amount of time it takes to walk a half a mil. Iba ilu shtil alta maili av a basa kashi. When we say drink right away, it means if you drink right away, it's good. But if you don't drink right away, it's bad. Ayidu malay kashi v'lay maili. What does it mean? Not bad for you, but it's just not good for you. Teiku. Iba ilu achila ad chatzim mil. Hu deka mailu ha basa achi yume kam achi kashi. Same question. Achila we said up until chatzim mil. Does that mean after the time that it takes to walk a half a mil passes, it's dangerous? Ayidu malay. No, it's not dangerous. Like kashi, but v'lay maili, it's not good. The Gemara says again, teiku. Machris rav. Rav announced, Meir Kari Bezuza. If somebody will sell you Meir Kari, 100 gourds for a Zuz, buy it. But if it's any more expensive than that, don't touch it. Reishi Bezuza Meir. If somebody says, I'll sell you the head of an animal, 100 of them for a Zuz, all right, that's an offer you can't refuse. But if it's any more expensive than that, don't take it. Sfami, if somebody offers you the lips of an animal, v'loy klum, don't eat it for free, don't take it. Oh, Rav Yosef, Kabir be Rafuna. Remember when I was by Rafuna in his yeshiva, Yamid the Befagri be Rabbanon. The day that the Rabbanon were being lazy, they weren't coming on time, Amri, he would say, Ho idna yoimid the Sfami. Today's a yoimid the Sfami. V'loy yadanim ha'kama. I never fashteyed what he meant. Says, now already I understand what he means. Fashteyshoin. What he was trying to say was that this is a day that's going to have no value. Nothing tachlis, nothing good is going to come from this day. One more Gemara, the koishrin hatabur. You're allowed to tie the umbilical cord of a baby on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi said that not only are you allowed to tie it, but af choitchin. You're even allowed to sever. Tanu rabban koishrin hatabur. You're allowed to tie it. Rabbi Yossi, af choitchin. Even allowed to cut it. Time nashuli k'deshe echem avlad. Additionally, you're allowed to take the placenta of a baby, and you're allowed to be toim in it. You're allowed to wrap it in something. And the reason is so that the baby is going to get warm. So this is interesting. You're wrapping the shilya, not the baby, the shilya, but somehow through some energy, that's going to cause the baby to be warm. The B'nai Smalachim, they used to take the placenta and they would wrap it in bowls of oil. B'nai Sashirim, B'sfeigim Shaltzemer, the daughter is not of Malachim, but of wealthy people, they would put it in wool. B'nai Sanim, B'muchin, they would put it in rags. Halacha Rabbi Yosi, that you're allowed to cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos. That if somebody gives birth to twins and now there's two of these umbilical cords, certainly you're allowed to cut. My timer. The reason is the menatchi ahadadi. The reason is because we're afraid that the two babies are going to pull on each other. It's going to cause something to happen to the umbilical cord. That could already be dangerous. So the topic of the daf very much was the halacha is of a woman that's giving birth and the halacha is of someone that was makizdam. So one final note. For Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Amar Rav, Kolo Amar B'Parshas Toichacha, Oysen L'chai B'Shabbos. Anything that's mentioned, the parsha of the Toichacha. So this is not the Toichacha of B'chukosai or of Kisavoy. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Tezayin, a pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking sharply. He's giving Toichacha to the Yidden, telling the Yidden how not makir toiv they are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that pasuk, Hashem uses a mashal. And the mashal was, he refers to Klal Yisrael as a baby that was lying on the ground that nobody was taking care of. Usually a baby's born, so there's a whole team of people that are ready to take care of the baby. But in this pasuk, Klal Yisrael was described as a baby that was forsaken, that nobody took care of, and ultimately Hashem did, and Klal Yisrael wasn't makir toiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's basically what's going on in this pasuk. So the pasuk is now going to mention the things that weren't done for the baby. That's Michlal Lav Atashemeya Hain, the things that are supposed to be done for a baby. So much so, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravu, Amar Rav, that those things are so critical that these are the things you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for. So what are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a baby for? The things that are mentioned, that pasuk that Hashem says weren't done to Klal Yisrael when they were the proverbial baby. Shenemar, so what does the pasuk said? Umol dei sayich, b'yoyim hu ledes oisach leicharash sharech. The day that you were born, leicharash sharech. Uvamayim leiruchatz lemishi, v'hom leach, loy hum lacht the hachta loy chutolt. What are all these things? Well, they say bim who led this. We can't be alden as a love Shabbos. Number one, you the baby was born. Okay, you're allowed to deliver a baby on Shabbos. Loy charas sharich. What does that mean? We can't shechoyt chenat haber b'Shabbos. The umbilical cord wasn't cut. Oh, umbilical cord is something that's important. That's something you're allowed to cut on Shabbos. Uvemaim leiruchatz lemishi. What does that mean? Mikancha roichs lavab Shabbos. The baby wasn't washed. You see, you're allowed to wash a baby on Shabbos. Vahom leach loy hum lach. Mikancha molch lavab Shabbos. You're allowed to salt the baby on Shabbos. And finally, vahochta loy chutalt. Mikancha melapifin havlad b'Shabbos. That the baby wasn't swaddled. So you see that you're allowed to swaddle a baby on Shabbos. Hadrin aloch mefana. But just one short ha'ara before we end up. Just one short ha'ara. And that is the Gemara said that Shmuel. Incidentally, notice how many times Shmuel was mentioned in today's daf. Why? Because we're dealing with Inyani Refuah. Shmuel was a doctor. So anytime you have a sugya, a gemara that talks about Inyani Refuah, you're going to see Shmuel. I mean, this gemara is exhibit A for that. Shmuel. The whole daf was Shmuel. And the reason is because Shmuel was a doctor and he was imparting his medical wisdom and giving advice as it relates to Inyani Refuah. So one of the things Shmuel said was, is that not every day is it considered safe for a person to bloodlet. One of the days he said it's very dangerous for a person to bloodlet is on Erev Shavuos. Erev Shavuos is a very dangerous day. And the reason is because there's a zika, there's a shade, and the name of the shade is Tavoyach. And this shade, Tavoyach, was around before the Yidden were Mekabel the Torah. So much so, this shade was, his job was, the like Kiblu Yisrael Torah, had the Yidden not been Mekabel the Torah, Havetovach Lulu Bisrayu, he would have shechted the Yidden, Ulidamayu. So because of that shade, it's dangerous to be Makas, not Ereshu. It's not just that. The Gemara said, the Gazur Rabbanan, Akuli Malu Yoimetova, Mishum Yoimetova da Atzeres. The Chum said, you know what, if it's not a good idea to do it on Ereshu, you should never do it on Erev Yontif. And even though really Erev Yontif would be a good day, you see that people used to do it on Erev Shabbos, even though it was a Sakana. But keeping the dash bei rabim shem b'sayim Hashem, because you have to eat a meal afterwards, that's a perfect time to do it. Yontif night, you're going to eat a big suda. So certainly it would have made sense for a person to bloodlet that. However, it was considered dangerous, and the reason it was dangerous is because of the shade, this demon called Tavayah. So two things. Number one, the Marsha, and this Marsha is not here on this Gemara, but rather the Marsha is in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Chedushi Agadis, on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara over there says Kol Azeveach Es Yitzroy. But the Gemara refers to someone that overcomes his Yetzirah as if he shechted his Yetzirah. So it's on that Gemara that overcoming your Yetzirah is an Maisa Shechita. It's an act of being Zoyveach. It's Zvicha, Vizavachta. That's what it is. You're literally slaughtering the Yetzirah. Says the Marsha, I think this is Pshan in the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara talks about this shade that was there to make sure that the Yidden would be Mekabel the Torah. Or at the very least, if the Yidden weren't going to be Mekabel the Torah, have the Tavach Lulu B'Srayu Demayu. And what was his name? His name was Tavayach. Now what does it mean to be Tavayach? What does Tavayach mean? It means Teshach. That's what the word means. It means Teshach. So the Marsha says, I don't understand the Gemara. Why was the shade called Tavayach? You know what Tavayach means? Slaughtered. This shade's job wasn't to get slaughtered, it was to slaughter. So he should have been called Tavayach. It should have been Tezvav. Veis ches. Not tes veis, tes veis vav ches. The vav should have been before the veis, not after the veis. Toiveach means to shech. That's the act of shechting. Toiveach means that you are slaughtered. So says the Marsha, because it's true, this shade, initially his intention was to be a toiveach, but he was bal litvayach v'nimtza toiveach. He ended up getting geshachted because Klal Yisrael was mekabel the Torah. They were mekabel the Torah. It says the Marsha, I think that shade wasn't really a shade. I think it's the Malach HaMavis. Because at the end, what was he going to do? He was going to slaughter the Yidden. That's the Malach HaMavis' job. And the truth is the Malach HaMavis and the Yetzirah are really the same person. So you see that when the Yidden were able to overcome the Yetzirah and the Yidden were able to be Mekabel the Torah, what did they ultimately do? They shechted the Malachamavas. They shechted the Yetzar. Yetzar and the Malachamavas are the same person. That's the Oymik in this Gemara, says the Marsha. Kol ha-zoyveach es Yitzroy. Oh, if someone overcomes his Yetzar, he's a Zoyveach. What's the precedence for that? You see that the Yidden, when they were Makabal the Torah, they rendered the Yetzar Tavayach. It was an act of Shechita. So you see from there that when someone overcomes the Yetzar, it's considered Shechita. But all the Balei Musar, took the same thing out of this Gemara. They all ask a very obvious question. It says, I understand. The Yidden, 3,300 years ago, when they stood at the foot of Har Sinai, were given an ultimatum. They were told, either Makabal the Torah, or there's the Malachamavis, or the Shade, Tavayach, Tavayach, he's going to take you out. Okay, it was very dangerous. There was a Shade that was roaming in the streets, that was ready to pounce. Bisrayu v'damayu, had the Yidden not been Makabal the Torah. So it's for that reason, 3,000 years later, it's considered dangerous for a person to be makizdan and Eretz Shavuos. What does that even mean? This was then. What does it have to do with now? What does it have to do with today? What in the world does this have to do with today? So the Balei Musar say that you see from here an unbelievable thing. That same shade that was prevalent back in the day when the Yidden stood at the foot of Rav Sinai, Kishachad B'lei V'achad, is still around. It went together with the Yidden throughout the Dairis. And it's a chazit zechid b'yedesh Erev Shavuos. Every Erev Shavuos you have Tavayach, who's roaming in the streets. And every Erev Shavuos the Yidden are being told again, do you want to be Makabal the Torah? And the Yidden are being told to Bachar to Bachayim. We have an opportunity every single year to be Makabal the Torah. Because the Oirois of what happened Erev Shavuos, way back when, is something that's chayz of an air. It repeats itself every Shavuos. The Bnei Yisachar says, we learned this Gemara a long time ago, in the beginning of the Masechta. It says that after the story of the Nes of Chanukah, so it says, L'shana Acheres Kavun Vasum Yantif. L'shana Acheres Kavun Vasum Yantif. The Chashminam decided to make it into a Yantif. And the Bnei Yisachar asked, he says, I don't know, why was it L'shana Acheres? It sounds like they waited a year before they made it into a Yantif, right? Yeah, the Nes of Chanukah, the following year, they made it into a Yantif. No, they should have made the Yantif now. Now, obviously, it won't be enforced until the following year. But the Gemara says, L'shan Acheres Kavum V'asum Yantif. They weren't Kiveya. They actually didn't even incorporate. They didn't institute the Yantif until the following year. Why did they wait a year? So the Bnei Yisachar says, because the truth is, every Yantif, the Oirois of the original Yontif, whatever that represented, comes down. On Shavuos, it's Zman Matan Torah Seinu, literally. You have the shade of Tavoyach that's draining Zechaner of Shavuos. On Pesach, this is Zman Cheruseinu. Every single Yontif, whatever that Yontif represents, the Oirois of that Yontif come back. The Chayz of an Eir. So said the Heilige Bnei Yisachar, when the Chashminam made Yontif, this was already during Bayesheni. They weren't the Anshei Knesset Agdoila. This wasn't Alpina Vian. They didn't know if they had the ability to make a Yontif. Who said it's a real Yontif? So they said, you know, there's only one way to find out. Let's wait a year. Let's see what happens next year on Chof Hei Kislev. Are they going to be the Oirois of Chanukah? Are we going to feel it? So they waited L'shana Acheres. And by L'shana Acheres, they felt the Oirois, pun intended, the Oirois of Chanukah came down. They realized Kavum Vasa Yontif, Mekemachana Yontif. But until they felt the Oirois coming back, they weren't sure whether or not it could be a Yontif.